And depending
on the way wrong, you lay right, you know?
Eh, what's I right?
Oh. Albertina, okay. Go to your own, get away wrong, Mam Kaka.
Never mind, it's cool, make it.
Oh. Mtembongkor.
Mtem.
Ah, last thing you left him. That's no bad thing, I
lasekenjani
ofanele isithumela kwenye iposti bangakho hayi yaslasa niphilile boku
niphilile wakho nakhona nakuyi
hayi kahle futhi Mthemba kabe khona
jabulele
honorable Thabe,
how are you Tess?
Very well, thanks, yourself?
Ah, we good.
Good, good. Honorable Montwedi.
Rizwil.
Mandela. Lena le guy Hosia.
Eh, Razo and Dadonam Lat.
No, really war. Come on.
Akbaristain. Akbaristain, who handed?
What's up, give up a last HFSN?
Guy, honorable, but
siphilile che, akukho nto imbi. Siyabulela, ninjani?
Siyaphila majola kabe khona. Anina singena.
I know.
I know. Akabe
kwahlaba.
Uke ngoku. Eh. Dilele ezabo. Honorable members.
Eh, Linda Kisiyami Chair. Akina mathata ke mo Kisiyami.
Oh, dumela ntate le kae?
Ntate le kae modula stilo.
Eh, re tswile ona mlata.
Ke hantle.
Eh. Dade Matia se won.
Goeiemôre voorsitter. Dink ek was nog op
Palestine.
Dit gaan goed, dankie voorsitter, en met jouself?
Ek is goed, man.
Ek is baie bly.
Was akhbare Priet?
Ek weet nie, voorsitter.
Ah, honorable members, shall we begin? Let me take this opportunity to welcome you, honorable members, on our portfolio committee sitting on agriculture, land reform, and rural development. We are still continuing, honorable members, with the discussions regarding the ULTRA, upgrading of land tenure amendment bill, as well as today we will be going into the issue of desirability, where we left off before we attended the meeting last time. But before we proceed, honorable members, let me bring to your attention that one of our honorable members of this portfolio committee, the honorable Simpiwe Mbata, is admitted in hospital and in high care. Please continue to keep her in your prayers, and that she may recover and be well and return to assume her work. With that said, honorable members, are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Hello,
yes,
Chair.
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. Continue.
So I just want to indicate that around 11:15, I have a commitment. I will log out and quickly log in when I'm done.
That's all right. Thank you. Noted.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair?
Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are audible. Manyamza, please proceed.
I've got apologies from MP Chwete. She is not feeling well. The Deputy Minister, S. Dlamini, will join the meeting later, and the Minister is attending another cabinet responsibility. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other apologies? Mkakaza?
Thank you, Chair. I've got an apology from Ms. Brett. She's having other commitments, Chair. And then Dr. Bekul is attending traditional leader as committing in KZN. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. May I ascertain if we then have quorum to proceed? Manyamza?
We do, Chair.
We do.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Without any further delays, honorable members, when we parted on our Tuesday sitting, we were engaging on the issue of desirability, and that speaks entirely to the work that has been done in terms of public hearings, in terms of the committees engagements that we have had with the department, with the content advisors, with the legal advisor to Parliament on the bill. We therefore want to call on honorable members to vote on desirability so that we may then start the work that we have been requested to do in looking at the bill clause by clause, excuse me. That will then enable us to start speaking to the bill and reading from line to line. And this will probably take us to even next week's sitting. But I wanted us to, for the record, be able to have voted on the issue of desirability. I see the hand of Honorable Stein.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for giving me this opportunity, Chair. We did discuss this extensively, as I said on Tuesday we will. Chairperson, the comment from our side, from the Democratic Alliance, is the following, that the amendments of the Ultra Amendment Bill has been done haphazardly, in a sense that it is amending only sections of the Principal Act, whereby we were only concentrating, or the department were only concentrating on the sections which was found unconstitutional by the courts. Chair, our concern is the following. When we amend sections of an original act that might still be unconstitutional, and I think we heard quite a lot about the other sections of the Principal Act that still might have unconstitutional sections in it, and that we can still be challenged of other sections of that act. It is a concern, Chairperson, that we might not have asked for an individual legal opinion from someone that's not linked to the state. So that would be the first concern, Chair, that we are having regarding that. And I think, you know, looking back at the the record of Parliament in the past, you know, we have done things in a very short and haphazard way, and all those cases we were found unconstitutional either on the process that was followed. So our concern was also on the process followed from the side of the department itself, whereby they did not publish it beforehand, and also whereby they did not call for comments in sister departments before they published the bill. Chair, there's also a concern regarding the COVID process that was followed with the public hearings. I think people recognize that the difficulties that we had as a committee to deal with this bill during the COVID challenges, and that it could be that lots of people could not get the opportunity to speak about the bill. The other concern, Chairperson, would be if we look at the comments that we received during the public processes, a lot of the comments dealt with, as it was that as it is still stated in the original bill or the principal act, the tribal areas. And it is our concern that this piece of legislation, the amendment bill, will not deal with that, precisely because the department did not do their work the last 26 years in making sure that that area gets surveyed and mapped properly in order when people do want to upgrade their land, as the Act states, doesn't matter to what kind of tenure they would like to look at, they won't actually be able to do it. So those are the comments that we are having, Chair. Looking at all of that, we are also concerned that the sections that we actually do agree with, the section dealing with making sure that women get the rightful place to ensure that they can upgrade their tenure if they so choose, might not be able to do it because we don't have registers in place in townships, and definitely not in most communal areas. Chair, so
thank you, Chair.
Can we then agree? Can we agree that we will proceed?
Honourable
Sen, we will proceed, Chair.
Honourable Sen, can you hold on?
Yes,
I just want to bring you on the matter that this is exactly what we wanted to prevent, so that we can all have an opportunity to deliberate on the bill. This is why on Tuesday I asked that we adopt this issue of desirability, so that we can then be able to engage on the merits of the bill. Now you are going ahead of us and galloping ahead, that you are already deliberating and yet we still have to speak to the desirability. And that's why we would like to vote on desirability, so that we can open then room to engage on the issues. It is once we have moved forward to having dealt with desirability that we can then be able to engage on each and every issues that you are raising, rightfully so now. Mam Kakas? Mam Kakas?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, I heard you interjecting. So what did you want to raise?
No, it was not me, Chair. I'm not sure whether it was Mamunyamza.
Okay. Honorable members, I'd like to bring you back to the issue of desirability, because we cannot begin to deliberate on the issues of the bill, have not been agreeing on the issue of desirability. And here, it's not that we are saying we are agreeing with the bill. We are saying that we've done sufficient work that we were required to do in terms of public hearings and consultative measures in the circumstances we found ourselves in having to abide to COVID regulation laws. And that is the only issue we are tackling here so that we can then go into the bill and deliberate on the issues of the bill. And honorable members will have ample time to raise the issues they wish in that regard. I therefore want to ask that we proceed on the issue of desirability. Can we vote on that?
Yes, we can proceed, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Stain. Seconder?
I second, Chair. Klappe.
Thank you, Honorable Klappe. Secretariat, do we need to vote on this so that we record the vote?
Yes.
Chairperson?
We
really don't need to vote if there are no objections, Chair.
Okay, I would then want to place it, honorable members, that there are no objections on deliberations. We have a rejection from the EFF that is noted from the Tuesday meeting, and I'd like to raise that because honorable Matthias had said that they are rejecting. So we are only talking to the issue of desirability, and this is then will enable us to proceed in engaging in the issues that members would like to raise on clause by clause and on the issues that they feel have not been attended or have been attended. So I therefore take that, Honorable Stain.
I'm really sorry, Chair, when I made my opening speech, we didn't get to the last part. The DI would then say that we did not follow due process to get the ball to this place, so we would vote no for desirability.
Okay, so DA is voting no for desirability. Any others? ANC?
Chair, ANC, on behalf of ANC, Chair, we are agreeing, we voting yes for desirability.
Thank you, Honorable Matthias.
Good morning, Chair, and then to honorable members and colleagues. As you rightly indicated, Chair, that on Tuesday we have indicated objection to the voting of, on the that desirability of this bill. And we need to reiterate our position that to understand that this process fails to formulate a single tier and secure land tenure system that moves away from colonial and apartheid architecture. The EFF will continue to reject this bill. Thank you.
Yes. Any other honorable members from another party? FF is not in attendance, yes?
Okay, Chair, you're going through the other parties. I just wanted to remind Chair, I see Honorable Kabekul is not here from IFP, that IFP did not object.
Yes, IFP supported that we may proceed and therefore supported desirability.
Honorable Chair, may I interject today?
It is a note from the Tuesday meeting. Yes, Honorable Chair.
I'm saying let's not appropriate the right to speak on behalf of the IFP in his absence. And therefore let's not conclude that the IFP endorses or supports the desirability of continuing with the bill in its current. The IFP must speak for itself.
We have it, Honorable Matthias, on record in our minutes from the Tuesday meeting as attested by Honorable Tebekulu. You've also confirmed the position of the EFF, which was attested to in our meeting on Tuesday, which I raised. So as much as you are agreeing that this was the position of the EFF, it is the position of the IFP as stated by the Honorable Ndabezi Tainkosi Nkulu Mawucebekulu on our meeting on Tuesday. So Plus, Honorable Brett is not in attendance. Any other party that is with us today? I don't see other honorable members from the other parties. Fine. Mamkakaza, Manyamza. Any input on desirability, is that recorded sufficiently?
Chair?
Yes.
I would suggest that, Chair, we start afresh by voting because Umi Steiner rejected now because she was the one who moved the motion and seconded by Mamo Tlape. So I'll suggest that you get another mover and the second check of the motion.
Thank you. Can we have a mover for desirability of
Honorable Mathe is here to move for desirability in support of desirability.
Thank you, Honorable Marshall. Any seconder?
Dumiso Tapa stands to second the motion of desirability on the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tapa Mtembo Mkulu, for seconding. Can we note then the objection of DA and the objection of EFF?
Agreed, Chairperson.
Noted.
Honorable Stein.
Thank you.
The EFF wants to reiterate its position on the objection and rejection of this bill.
Thank you, and Matthias. Honorable members, that concludes the issue of desirability and If you may allow us, we would like to then proceed into today's business of the day, that being to engage directly on the program of the day, that is the deliberations on clause by clause, taking into account the proposed amendments. Can I then request the honorable members, the secretariat, to lead in reading out or sharing the bill on the screen, so that we can be able to go through it clause by clause. Manyamza, Mamkakaza. Or is Dr. Manenje going to lead us in this process? Okay.
What are you saying, Chair?
What are we going to do? We're wanting to proceed with today's business of reading at the bill on clause by clause.
Yes, Chair.
this is the agenda for today.
Yes, Chair.
So I wanted you to be able to share the bill on the screen so we can go through it clause by clause.
Okay, Chair. But are you aware that, Chair, you are going to read that clause by clause?
That is fine if you employ me to read clause by clause. I was leaning more on the secretariat and the content advisors, but I'm capable and I will proceed as per your request, Banyam.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
The copies, ma'am. They can always open their, they can open their bills, Chair, and then you start reading.
So yes, but you also have guests that have joined us making the attendance for today 35 people. So there might be others that don't have the bill and I'd like to speak on their behalf. So this is why I'm requesting that we are able to share the bill on the screen. Honorable members, I will request those that have it electronically on other gadgets, please do open it so that we may be able to proceed reading the bill on clause by clause.
Doc? Dr. Maneje? Dr. Maneje?
I'm here.
Can you share the bill, please?
Have you allowed me to share?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
All right. Just a minute, let me get it.
Honorable members, do you have the bill before you in your the electronic version on your gadgets?
Yes, Chairperson.
Hello, you have?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we have.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
While the secretariat is trying to share it, there we go. Now we can move swiftly, all of us, as we read through. And I will read, honorable members, and if there's something that you want to speak to, you can just raise your hand or get my attention. The bill reads as follows. I'm slightly down to what is on the screen. Or do you want me to start there? If you may. I'm exactly at the bill where it starts. Thank you. That's where we are. So I'll start reading from there. To amend the Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act of 1991 so as to provide for the application for the conversion of land tenure rights to ownership, to provide for the notice of informing interested persons of an application to convert land tenure rights into ownership, and to provide for an opportunity for interested persons to object to the conversion of land tenure rights into ownership, to provide for the institution of inquiries to land tenure rights, to provide for application to court by an aggrieved person for appropriate relief, to provide for the recognition of conversions that took effect in good faith in the past, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Be it enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Amendment of Section 2 of Act 112 of 1991, as amended by Section 30 of Act 139 of 1992. 1. Section 2 of the Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act of 1991, herein after referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended. A. By the substitution for the heading of the following heading: Conversion, application for conversion of land tenure rights mentioned in Schedule 1. B. By the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection: 1. Any land tenure rights mentioned in Schedule 1 and which was granted in respect of any person who is the registered holder of a land tenure right according to the Register of Land Rights, in which that land tenure right was registered in terms of the provisions of any law, or could have been a holder of that land tenure right had it not been for laws of or practices that unfairly discriminated against such person, may apply to the minister in the manner prescribed for by the conversion of such land tenure rights into ownership in respect of A, any F or any other piece of land in a formalized township for which a township register was already opened at the commencement of this act, shall at such commencement be converted into ownership. Anything thus far? I will proceed. B, any F or any other piece of land in a formalized township for which a township register is opened after the commencement of this act, shall at the opening of the township register be converted into ownership. Or C, any piece of land which is surveyed under a provision of any law and does not form part of a township, shall at the commencement of this act be converted into ownership. And as from such conversion, the ownership of such F or piece of land shall vest exclusively in the person who, according to the register of land rights in which that land tenure right was registered in terms of a provision of any law, was the holder of that land tenure right immediately before the conversion. And C, by the insertion after subsection 1 of the following subsections: 1A, the minister shall on receipt of such application cause to be published in the Gazette a notice as prescribed, which forms all which informs all interested persons of the application for conversion. 1B, can I ask that we mute all our microphones as we can pick up the engagements in the background. May I ask that we mute our microphones so that we don't pick up any noise in the background? Can I ask Hank Smith to mute your microphone? Thank you. One B.
Chairperson, yes. Excuse me.
Yes.
Chair, Honorable. I just want to make sure we are all on the same page with what we are currently doing with the process. If we follow and you keep on reading and you pass something and we don't mention, we agree with that section, or are we going to do clause by clause voting on each section? I'm just making sure, Chair, that we are following the exact correct process.
As I said when we started, I will read clause by clause. If there was an amendment anyone wished to make or anyone wanted to speak to, you may bring it to my attention and you can speak to that. We will read the entire bill, and I would raise it to you, honorable members, that on Tuesday we are still deliberating on this. So if there is any other further amendments you may wish to make, Tuesday will be afforded time to do so as well. But for today, we just want to read right through the bill. And if there are issues that you would have wished to amend, you may amend as you wish.
Chairperson?
Yes. Dr. Malenjo?
Yes. I'd like to suggest to the committee that you are now reading amendment of Section 2 of the Principal Act. And this is the time where the committee must... should find it, you know, create space for engagement with the issues that members of the public raised on this matter. So while you are reading, I would suggest that members of the committee look at all those issues regarding Section 2. And after you have completed just this part of Section 2, then you create time to discuss around it, because I think we will be going back and forward if we finish that and come back and deliberate. So if we take Section 2, when you have concluded reading, we go back and say, so what are the issues? What were the concerns here? As the current text of the bill, does it respond? How do we make it strong? How do we bring those elements? I think that's where we need a bit of discussion. So normally what happens is sometimes that you have a deliberation before you get into clause by clause reading, so that you then adopt after reading. But in this case, I think the approach that was adopted by the committee now is to read. I suggest that let's create time for engagement and, you know, with the section that is being amended. And actually also make it very clear to to all members. What is it that is being inserted? What is it that is being omitted from this piece of legislation? Thank you.
Sir? Thank you, Dr. Manenje, Honorable Tabe.
Thanks, my hand is up. Chair, I would request your indulgence in this matter.
Yes.
As you have been saying that we will still deliberate also on Tuesday.
Yes.
I would request, Chair, that we said we're having this act before us on our gadgets, and we're noting the sections as and when you go through that we would want to deliberate on. Now, because, Chair, my worry is that if we have to stop at every clause, it will defeat the purpose of Tuesday. It will also consume much more time today. Now, we're coming very far with this bill, Chair, that even the summary of report has indicated. For an example, for argument's sake, I would say to you, in our meeting last time, we said clause 1, 2, 3 give effect to Rahube decision. Hence, we are quiet as we're going through these clauses. We're noting them. I would request, Chair, that we continue like that, so that when you open for debate, like Honorable Stein was doing, she will then go back to her sections at the appropriate time and say, section 2, we don't agree, we want it to be like this, or this is our concern on it, so that we don't go back forward. Now, if we have to go section by section, Chair, I'm afraid that it will take much time. It will also defeat the purpose of Tuesday. Let's refresh our minds section by section as and when we are going, and we're noting where we would want to deliberate. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
Can I come in, Chair?
Chair, before my
Dr. Manager.
Thank you, Chair. Having heard what Honorable Sape is saying, I'm clear of the approach that the committee is taking. I thought that the committee is now reading and adopting. So it's very clear from what she's saying that actually this is a reading, beginning of the discussion, which will continue into next week. So it doesn't seem like it's an adoption. So I will then say draw my advice and allow the committee to do as it is.
Memma, please mute your microphone. Continue, Dr. Manenje.
I was saying that in terms of the approach that Honorable Sape is suggesting, it's clear that the committee is not adopting the clause. So this reading is not about adoption. I'm okay with that. I was saying, I thought that you were reading so that you adopt immediately. I was saying, if we were going to adopt it immediately, then we are jumping the stage where we need to really engage with the section or the clause that has been introduced, and bring in elements of the issues raised by the public. Now, I then say the approach she's articulating, that there will be deliberation on each clause next week. I'm fine with that. Thank you.
Manyamza.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to come in on a point of procedure, Chair. If the committee is saying we are dealing with clause by clause, it therefore means in each clause that you have read, members must say they agree with it in its current form, or they don't want it in its current form, and make those amendments. Because this is going to create a problem when we have to make the amendment for the A list. I would suggest that, Chair, we deal, as we said, it's clause by clause, we deal it as such, we do it as such. After each clause, members must agree or must make inputs. After deliberating, we agree on how do you want the clause to look like. And then we know that this clause, the members want it to look like this. Thank you, Chair.
Mayams, honorable members are wanting us to read through the section. so that they can be able to go through it and see what has been, what is in the bill as it stands, so that they can be able to look on the issues that they can or have an appetite of amending. I therefore have suggested that we proceed and read through it, so that those that would want to make amendments on section 2 of a certain word, they can do so on Tuesday. But today's procedure will assist us if we've been able to read it in its entirety, so that people know exactly what we are required to do.
Hello, Chairperson.
Chair, can I come in, please, Mpapama?
Honorable Mbabama and then Dr. Manenje.
Chair, it is my experience that when we say we are reading clause by clause, as Ma'am Nyamza has said, we are supposed to wait. You are supposed to read the first clause, whoever reads it, and then we discuss on it and we adopt it. And that is the way it's been done in the past. That is the procedure. So, you know, we should have read this ourselves. We are not children, Chair. We cannot have somebody reading and just going through it. We can do that at home, honestly. The procedure is that we go clause by clause, we deliberate on it, we debate it, and we go on to the next clause, Chair. We've got 2 days to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mbabama. Honorable Manenje.
I think it's the legal advisor, not me.
Dr. Manenje.
It's not me, it's the legal advisor.
Okay.
Hi, Chairperson. Chair, I just wanted to assist on this thing of the procedure for deliberations. Firstly, Chairperson, that when we read, the committee is, in terms of the rules, empowered to decide how it wants to conduct its business today when it's doing these deliberations on the bill. That's the first point I wanted to make, Chairperson. But secondly, Chair, that it is a norm that when the committee is doing the clause by clause deliberations, that the clause is put before the committee, read out, of course, omitting those parts which are going to be taken out of the bill, which are the parts that are bolded and in brackets in the bill. So when you read a clause, Chairperson, then you omit in your reading those parts which are not going to form part of the proposed legislation. So then that becomes the clause that you put before the committee, for the committee to deliberate on that clause and decide how it wants to move on with that clause that you've put before it for deliberation. As your support, Chair, we are here to assist you with a list. We will be assisting you with developing a list of amendments that come from this process, where, for instance, through the deliberations in the committee, committees want us to add or subtract or remove or make any other amendment that the committee decides to make in each of the clauses in the bill. And that, Chairperson, lastly, when all of that is done, you go back to read the long title, which is the first part of the bill, to indicate that that which the committee has done is reflected in the long title, and that if there are any amendments which the committee wants to also propose on the long title to reflect its deliberations, that we also amend the long title. So that's on the issue of procedure, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, the legal advisor. Honorable Clapper, is your hand up? I see you still have your hand raised.
Chair, I didn't lower my hand, and I think it is clear from the legal advice how we can decide on conducting the business, Chair, but that was the earlier hand. I'm good for now.
Okay. Honorable members, let me try and ascertain on your side, as I've read, do you want me to go back or thus far there's not been any amendments you wish to make. We are on 1C. So I would like to ascertain if on what I've read before, there is no amendments you wish to make.
On a point of order, Chair.
Mamba Bama.
In fact, it's a recommendation or a suggestion, Chair. Can we allow Dr. Manenze to do the reading? There's nothing wrong with your reading, Chair, but I think you also need to make notes and, you know, copy. You also need to be engaged in the process. Can we allow Dr. Manenze to read the clauses? Thank you. That's a recommendation.
I had made that request earlier, Honorable Mbabama, to the Secretariat and the Content Advisor, and they felt that now the Chair must read the bill in its entirety. So I'm soldiering on as per their request.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Sorry for interjection. The practice in the past is that you do not have to read the entire bill. Members of the committee can assist in reading, so you can take certain clauses and have other members also reading. So it's just my suggestion. Thanks.
Honorable members, we cannot be going back and forth on reading. It's English, it's words. Someone can read and conclude this. So it's simple. On my end, I have no problem reading this. I had requested the content advisor and the secretariat to do the reading. They felt that I should continue to read. And I've been doing so. Yes.
Chairperson? If we have now decided that we will look, Chair, if we've decided that we will look at each section as you read and stop there, I would want us to go back to 1B, Chairperson, please.
Yes, 1B, Honorable Steyn.
Yes. Where it speaks about the minister.
Yes.
May apply to the minister in a manner prescribed for the conversion of such land tenure right into ownership. Chairperson, I just wanted to ensure that we are all clear that even if it's to the minister, that someone in her office could deal with this, because I'm looking at capacity. I think there was a discussion on that, Chair, and I don't know if there was any proposals from our public participation process. It was just the worry about the minister and the capacity.
Yes, it has been put as the minister there, and the minister has also a power to delegate to the rightful person within the ministry, whether it be the deputy minister or whether it be the DG. So it is within the minister's powers to see as to, in terms of capacity, who she delegates to. And I think it has been correctly put there in terms of the minister. If she wished to delegate to another, she would do so in her capacity as the minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I ask then that we proceed slowly from this point on, that we rather make notes as we go and stop? Otherwise, you'll read the whole thing and we will reread again.
Yes. So I will read one piece and pause and wait for any comment. Are you with me, Honorable Members? I'm on 1C.
Supported, Chair.
And 1C reads as follows: an objection to a conversion may be lodged in the prescribed manner with the minister. Agreed?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Steyn.
Question?
Yes.
I assume then there would be regulations on the prescribed manner and the way it will happen.
I think we will all assume that because this is what it reads. It one C reads as follows: an objection to a conversion may be lodged in the prescribed manner with the minister. So we are fine with that.
We are good, Chair.
Yes,
we are assuming the health process and procedures aligned to this provision.
Yes.
We are happy with that, Chairperson. There was just above that. It's difficult because I have now two things because the screen is moving and my document. So can we just go to B, the second part?
B, the second part.
Where it speaks, any ARF or any piece of land in a formalized township or township register was already opened in the commencement of this act. I think, Chairperson, we also had some comments about that. Are we sure that all our areas already have township registers that were opened? Because we might bog down communities because of this section that we are dealing with. And I think it's a practical question. I don't have anything against the wording that is mentioned here, but are we sure that all the areas that we are discussing already have township registers? It was the issue of capacity and who is supposed to be having that township registers and is it in place, Chair?
I would take it, Honorable Stain, that resides within the deeds registry, and we would have to then have a separate engagement in finding out if every township is registered. For now, we should be confining ourselves to the bill and speak to what has been put before us on the shared screen. Any other things that you may wish to follow up in future, we can invite the respected entities through the department to come and interact and engage on these issues so that we make certain that those things are covered and we don't just leave it on the bill. So I would recommend that we look into engaging with those entities to make certain that those things are attended to. But for now, we would wish to proceed with making amendments on each clause as we are doing. Can we proceed?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you.
Yes,
thank
Chair.
You. We will move to 1D, Honorable Members, and it reads as follows. The Minister must, upon receipt of an application or objection contemplated in subsection 1A and subsection 1B, institute an inquiry in the prescribed manner in order to assist the minister in determining the facts and to make a decision relating to the conversion of land tenure rights, the objection thereto, and the vesting of ownership. Anything, Honorable Members, you wish to amend on 1D?
Agreed, Chair, from my side.
Any other Honorable Members? Thanks, Honorable Kappa. We move on then to the amendment of Section 4 of Act 112 of 1991.
Before you move, I may have missed a particular discussion here. I'm reminded of, you know, a very, you know, robust discussion around publication of notices in the Government Gazette and all, and arguments around accessibility by women and people in remote areas. And I do not know, I may have missed it perhaps, I do not know if the committee has engaged with that kind of submission and look as to, you know, whether the framing or the way in which this bill is written, whether it addresses the concerns that members of the public have raised. And I think these issues we have detailed in the report that we tabled for the committee. I'm just bringing to the attention of the committee. In case I missed that discussion, I apologize. But I think it's something that the committee should consider looking at carefully. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable State.
Thank you, Chair. I'm reminded, yes, Chair, and that's why I asked earlier, and I think I missed it, because this is where I wanted to speak about the minister, and it wasn't, I mentioned it in the wrong section earlier. It speaks about the Gazette of the Notice, and earlier I asked about the publication, and it will be in a regulation. So I think it was actually this point that I wanted to make, because I think this could have been the section where we can speak about a regulation, because if we put in the bill that it must be published in the Gazette, I would rather want us to look at the minister start on receipt of such application cause to be published as prescribed or something, and not specifically just only leave it to the Gazette, so that the way it must be published and how it can be done can be gazetted rather, which could easily be changed. Once something is in law as just as a gazette, it might be problematic. So if we can maybe just get some legal advice on this section. I earlier mentioned the other one, but it's actually this one that I had in mind. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Any other honorable
Chair?
Member?
Chabem?
Yes. Honorable Chabem.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, my colleagues are right that we spoke to this, it was brought up. But if you remember during the meeting where we received the report from Content Advisors as a summary report, the question or the critique on this was that the Government Gazette is not easily accessible to the most vulnerable and marginalized. And then there was a proposal, Chair, that notices be published in national, provincial, and local newspapers and be posted to community halls in all local languages. As Honorable Stein is saying, there has to be other means of reaching out instead of only focusing on the Gazette. And the department agreed with the proposal. Now, they agreed saying that will be outlined in the regulations in terms of the Bill Clause 1. So the regulations will cater for that. They agreed that it will not only be on the Gazette, the Government Gazette, but they will try to broaden reaching out on issues of publication. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Tappe. Honorable members, we will look to the legal advisors as to how to include that in, to not only speak to the Gazette Government Gazette, but to other publications. And I think that section 1A should then include that. The minister shall, on receipt of such application, cause to be published in the Gazette a notice and on other media as prescribed, which informs all interested persons of the application for conversion. I think they will come up with a better English. English is my seventh language that I speak. So those that speak English as a first language will assist in getting it we can move on, honorable members.
My hand is up, Chair.
Honorable Mbabama.
Chair, you will bear with me. I'm finding it rather difficult to say exactly where I want to comment on, but it is section one. There's section 1A, B, and then B of A, and then C of A, C of B. I don't know if that is the right way to say it. But if you look at
the, if you start with one, we will get to the others.
Okay, I am specifically talking to the section C that says, not section, but subsection C that says, any piece of land which is surveyed under a provision of any law and does not form part of a township. I don't know if the honorable members, or let me talk to you, Chair, if you are there.
Yes, I am here.
Ngozi, mine is really a question. When we say any piece of land which is surveyed under a provision of any law and does not part form of a township, are we talking to the rural areas here, which are sometimes called communal or customary? Meaning that, is my understanding right that we are talking to the rural areas or customary or communal areas here? We are referring to that because they are not townships.
Let us assist one another, Honorable Mbabama. Communal Land Amendment Bill is a separate entity. The department will come and present that before the committee, and we will have ample time to deal with communal land. We are simply speaking to any other piece of land in a formalized township. That's what we are speaking to. Unless you want to change wording there, we can speak to that. But communal land, the minister has said to the committee that she will come with the communal land amendment bill that she would want to speak to and present before the committee. It's a separate entity.
Are we saying that ULTRA is specifically and only for township, Chair?
Well, there is a process of that deals with communal land that is yet to be brought before the committee. So from my understanding, and the honorable members can speak to this, is that the minister has undertaken to come before the committee to present that.
Chair, I'm not only talking about communal land. I'm just referring it because sometimes people talk to the rural land as being communal, whether it's customary or whatever. And my question, maybe the legal advisor should assist us here. When they say any piece of land which is surveyed under a provision of any law and does not form part of a township, what are they talking about? Use batheta ngelali okanye batheta ngantoni na?
Yes.
I would really appreciate it if the legal advisor can come in.
A legal advisor and the content advisor, what are we speaking of here?
Chairperson?
Wait, Honorable Stain, there's still Honorable Masati's hand that is up, and also Honorable Tape's hand is up. if she and Honorable Matias's hand is up.
Should we proceed and respond, Chairperson? It's naturally demanded.
Yes, please respond to the issue Mam Babama is raising.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it will assist members to follow this process properly if they cross reference between the bill as well as the principal act to see exactly where the amendment is, but also to see the amendment in fullness, basically starting from the heading of the section being amended in the principal act.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to clause 2, to section 2 of the principal act, so that's chapter 1, section 2, it deals with conversion of land tenure rights mentioned in schedule 1 of the principal act. And Schedule 1 of the Principal Act deals with leaseholds, deeds of grant, and quadrants. And then all of the categories of land listed in clause 2, in section 2, are the ones being referred to here. So it is the land tenure rights in leaseholds, in deeds of grant, and quadrants, which are converted into ownership in terms of this clause.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are we covered, Mamum Babama? Thank you. Honorable Mahlatsi.
Sir, I'm covered. I wanted to raise an issue on the Gazette matter, but I'm covered. Thank you.
You're covered. Honorable Klappe's hand is now down. Are you covered as well?
I'm covered, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Matias.
Well, thanks, Honorable Chair. I think Honorable Mabamba was too quick to say that he's happy with the explanation of the legal advisor. But the point she was raising was precisely at the core of our position. And what is this? What is it that is at the core of our position? Is the duality of the land tenure right system and administration in this country, where on one hand we've got formalized areas, on the other hand, informal areas. Two, land that is controlled by common law on land that is controlled by a customary law. So the dual tire system in this country is at the core of the position of the EFF, and we don't see that being addressed by ALTRA. And to an extent, that is not being addressed by ALTRA. This amendment here and the bill in its totality, in how it's packaged, it's a bit of a problem and borders on being incomprehensible, Honorable Chair, lack in substance, and incoherent. And it gives a sense of a listener who's listening to this conversation proceeding. That is like the committee in these deliberations about this bill, lack sense of direction of exactly what you want to achieve with this process. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matias. We will have ample opportunity to speak on the entire bill and its merits once we have done the amendments on clause by clause. And I think on Tuesday we'll be able to open the session up for the different members to speak to their principle or issues that they stand on. But for now, honorable members, it will assist all of us if we just proceed on clause by clause and make the necessary amendments where we feel the need to make amendments. With your indulgence, we would like to proceed on section 4 that we were getting into. Can I proceed?
Which person?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And section 4 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1, notwithstanding anything to the contrary contained in any law, but subject to subsections 2 and subsections 3, a land tenure right mentioned in Schedule 1 and which has been granted in respect of any F or any other piece of land in a formalized township for which a township register has not yet been opened, shall bestow, pending the conversion thereof into ownership in terms of section 2, subsection 1, B, as soon as a township register is opened, on the person who is, according to a register of land rights of the township, the holder thereof, or could have been the holder thereof, but for laws or practices that unfairly discriminated against such persons, all rights and powers as if he or she is the owner of the F or the land in respect of which the land tenure right has been granted. Anything arising out of that, honorable members? Honorable Matthias, your hand is still up. Is that from before? If no hands on this matter, we proceed, honorable members, with the insertion of section 14A in Act 112 of 1991. The following section is hereby inserted in the Principal Act after section 14, and it reads as follows. 14A, subsection 1, notwithstanding the provisions of this Act or any other law, any person aggrieved by a conversion of land tenure rights, which took effect from 27th April 1994, may approach the court for an order. A, setting aside such conversion and registration of land tenure rights, or B, that is just and equitable. Can I continue?
Yes, Chair. Continue.
And 2, transfer of ownership of any F or any other piece of land from the 27th of April 1994, in which a land tenure right had been converted in respect of A, any F or any other piece of land purchased by third parties acting in good faith. B, any F or any other piece of land which has been inherited by a third party acting in good faith and the estate has been finalized in terms of the law of succession and the reform of customary law of succession and regulation of related matters, Act 2000 2009, Act number 11 of 2009 has been applied, or C, any F or any other piece of land which has been converted to ownership in favor of a woman in terms of this act, acting in good faith, remains valid. Any input, honorable members, on what has been read on 14A? May I proceed if there's no any other input?
Yes, sir.
Chair?
Yes. Dr. Manager?
Yes. I'll suggest that again in this area, perhaps the committee can also reflect a little bit. This is the discussion about courts and access to court and how difficult it is. And there was discussion around, you know, making it specific. What court are we referring? Is the committee referring to here? Secondly, that a lot of people will struggle to access courts. As you know, it's demanding. And there was discussion of the committee thinking about creating avenues or opportunities for members of the public to access relief through other means before extending or thinking about going to court. So I thought that this is where the committee might also want to reflect, so that our legal advisors could then get the view of the committee around how the amendment should look like, if the committee thinks that it needs to actually amend certain parts. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Manenje. Honorable Masipa, please mute your microphone. Thank you. Honorable members, is there any other court outside the judicial system that we have in our country, with courts being the first tier of engagement, that you may wish to insert? I take it there's none, honorable members. You want to resort to courts should there be any dispute or any other issues any aggrieved persons would want to raise.
So Chair, the question was, you know, the committee might want to look at, you know, what are more accessible dispute resolution mechanisms and processes, rather than people relying on courts, which we all know that it's, you know, it's expensive, and also what are alternative mechanisms other than court? Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Manenje, that's my what we are to the honorable members, if there are any other alternatives outside courts. This is the question we've put before the committee. Honorable Marshall.
Chair, thank you very much. I will think that we understand that it's difficult indeed to get to the courts because it's very expensive. But I think I don't have ways to put it nicely, but I think the legal advisors, they will help us. And I know that it's not all over the world where we have traditional leaders. But in other areas, like when I come from, if there is a dispute of a land or any other things, we start at Tukhorong, we start at the Mishate Arena, where we talk about these things. So I don't know how we can talk to the legal advisors to help us on how do we then bring it to localize it. Like we said, we bring the government closer to the people. How can we go about it? Let's ask the legal advisors to assist us on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Marshall. Honorable Tappe, please drop your hand then, Honorable Marshall.
Chair, thanks.
I think, Chair, you have indicated right away that we still have this court as a way of dispute mechanism. But, Chair, I remember when we were hinting on this one, we said there's always dispute procedures and mechanisms within departments. And ordinarily, Chair, when a person is not satisfied, they will end up taking their matters to court. It is a common knowledge or it's a norm that you try what is available. And if you can get through, if you are not satisfied, court will be your largest arbiter in matters. So I don't think there's an issue here. Us is just to check those regulations that the department would say, we will be bringing all these other proposals or concerns will be covered in regulations to say our dispute mechanisms shouldn't be something that is too hectic and cannot satisfy our clients or the customers of Ultra. But courts will always remain as the last arbiter in matters when public is not satisfied. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Tlhape. Any other takers on this?
Chair?
Simamu Mbabama?
Honorable Stein has a question, but she has just logged in and out again because she was frozen. Could we please beg your indulgence when she comes back that she be allowed to ask her question? Thank you.
Perfect. She can just alert me or raise her hand. I will acknowledge her. Honorable members, let us move on to the substitution of Section 25A of Act 112 of 1992 as inserted by Section 1 of Act 61 of 1998 and substituted by Section 46 of Act 11 of 2004. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 25A of the Principal Act, Application of Act. 25A, this act applies throughout the Republic. A short title and commencement. This act is called the Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Amendment Act 2020 and comes into operation on a date determined by the President by proclamation in the Gazette.
Chairperson?
Yes.
This is not... Okay, yes, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the last two clauses that you read, Chair.
Yes.
So that 14 capital letter A relating to court applications.
Yes.
The committee will be reminded that this is a reaction to the Constitutional Court decision, which had a retrospective effect to 27 April 1994, where the court said all of the conversions which took place under in good faith under this ultra would not be invalid because of the judgment in Rahube. So this clause then offers an alternative or offers an opportunity for people who want to challenge the conversions that took place from 27 of April 1994, that such people who are aggrieved by such conversions can approach the courts for an appropriate relief in line with this judgment and the amended legislation to ventilate their rights in court, Chairperson. So, and then in clause four, Chair, you will remember that this is the clause that relates to the same court decision. So that clause 25A is the one that that purported to extend, or at least purported to extend, the application of three, as the Senko decision said, but also 19 and 20, which the court did not pronounce on. So this is where, Chairperson, our advice was that perhaps the committee might want to only stick to the Senko decision, which only extended 3 and excluded 19 and 20 for application throughout the Republic. I just thought to put that to you, Chairperson, so that when members are looking at that clause 4 of the amendment bill can just have that in sight as well, or take that into consideration. Thank you.
If I may ask, Bam Chengan, we have here before us the date of the 27th of April, 1994.
Yes, sir.
What is the thinking around that? Is the committee able to change that date to the 20th of April, 1994, or to the 1st of April, 1994? Why that date in particular? Particularly on the issue of land.
Chairperson, the date here on this clause 14A is exactly the date that the court referred to in the Rahube decision. I just want to find that decision, Chairperson, quickly, if you bear with me. And I want to read exactly where the court referred to that date that we are talking about. Just a minute, Chairperson. So in clause 2B of the Rahube decision, Chairperson, the order number 2B, the court says, firstly, maybe I must start to just read the 2A, which just is just above 2B. 2A says, Chairperson, the order of the High Court is varied to read. So this is the Gauteng High Court's order, which was being varied by the Constitutional Court to speak to this issue of amendment of Section 2.1 of ALTRA. The court says, Section 2.1 of ALTRA is declared constitutionally invalid insofar as it automatically converted holders of any deed of grant or any right of leasehold as defined in Regulation 1 of Chapter 1 of the Regulations for the Administration and Control of Townships in Black Areas, 1962, Proclamation R293, Government Gazette 373 of 16 November 1962, into holders of rights of ownership in violation of women's rights in terms of Section 9.1 of the Constitution. So that's the discrimination which the court criticized ALTRA for, and said that to the extent that it discriminated against women, it violated Section 9.1 of the Constitution and therefore was invalid. Now in B, Chairperson, following just above that finding of unconstitutionality, the court says the order in A, which is what I just read, is made retrospective to 27 April 1994. So that order of invalidity, to the extent that ALTRA is inconsistent with Section 9.1 of the Constitution, the discrimination against women, is made to apply as if the decision was made on 27 April 1991, or its effect will date back to 27 April 1994. So that's where the date came from, Chairperson. But then the court also says it will not invalidate transfers. It says that in C of that order. It says in terms of Section 172, 1B of the Constitution, the order in paragraph A, which is that order of invalidity, and B, which is the one of retrospectivity, shall not invalidate the transfer of ownership of any property which title was upgraded in terms of ALTRA through finalized sales to third parties acting in good faith, inheritance by third parties in terms of finalized estates, and the upgrade of ownership of a land tenure right prior to the date of this order by women acting in good faith. So that's what the court said in that order in 2C. Now, what we have in clause 1, Chairperson, is a clause which says that people can make applications to court if they are aggrieved by the conversions that took place from 27 April 1994 to date, even if those were done in good faith. So that's essentially what this clause is about, Chairperson. It says that notwithstanding the provisions of this act or any other law, any person aggrieved by a conversion of a land tenure right which took effect from April 1994 may approach the court for an order setting aside such a conversion on the basis that it is just and equitable, and the transfers of ownership of any air for any other piece of land from 1994 in which land tenure right has been converted in respect of, and then it lists the categories in that section, Chairperson. So I was just trying to make the link between what the court said and what the bill has provided for as a measure for people, as a mechanism for people to challenge those conversions that may have taken place, or, you know, people who are aggrieved by such decisions, because those decisions already have been made. So if people then are aggrieved by that, the amendment creates a mechanism for people to be able to challenge those conversions. And this is also made to apply retrospectively, meaning as far back as 27 of April 1994 going forward. And then the clause following that, Chairperson, just to close, is the one that comes from SEMCO, which only seeks to extend section 3 and not 19 and 20 as the committee had been briefed in our last presentation. Thank you, Chair.
No, Bam Chengane, I'm asking this question, and it's simply an issue of our deliberation and in the amendment that we are doing. Should honorable members be thinking beyond that date? And this is why I'm throwing dates out of the air, whether it be 20th of April 1994, whether it be 1953, whether 1913, whether be 1652. I'm just wanting to ascertain if are we and ought to be thinking about the date itself, or should we just take it that it's what has been referred to by the court and we stick to that? That's all I was asking.
Oh, no. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, no, given the deliberations in the last meeting, the committee, I understood it, Chairperson, that the committee wanted to confine itself to the two decisions, and that this be a technical amendment process to effect the decisions of the court. In that respect, then, Chairperson, the committee might not be at liberty to change the date as it is provided for.
Okay. That's what I exactly wanted to hear.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, you've answered me. Honorable members, we will proceed then with your indulgence on the memorandum on the objects of the upgrading of land tenure rights amendment bill 2020. Given the background, okay, I will proceed with 1.1, and then I will pause there, then read 1.2 and pause there. It reads as follows, honorable members. 1.1, the upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act of 1991, Act number 112 of 1991, the Act was enacted to enable the upgrading and conversion into ownership of certain rights granted in respect of land for the transfer of tribal land in full ownership to tribes and for related matters. Any input, honorable members? If not, I will proceed to 1.2, which reads as follows. Land rights earmarked for upgrading and conversion into ownership include the following, which are listed in the two schedules to the Act. A, any deed or grant, or any deed of grant, or any right of leasehold as defined in Regulation 1 of Chapter 1 of the Regulations for the Administration and Control of Townships in Black Areas, 1962, the Proclamation Number R293 of 1962. B, any quitrent title as defined in Regulation 1 of the Black Areas Land Regulation of 1969, Proclamation Number R188 of 1969. C, any right of leasehold as defined in Section 1, Subsection 1 of the Black Communities Development Act of 1984, Act Number 4 of 1984. D, any right of leasehold within the meaning of the Conversion of Certain Rights to Leasehold Act of 1988, Act Number 81 of 1988. E, deed of grant rights or rights of leasehold as defined in Regulation 1, Subsection 1 of the Regulations Concerning Land Tenure in Towns of 1988, Proclamation Number R29 of 1988. F, deed of grant rights or right of leasehold within the meaning of the Regulation for the Disposal of Trust Land in Towns of 1988, Government Notice Number R 402 of 1988. G, any permission granted in terms of Regulation 5, Subsection 1 of the Irrigation Schemes Control Regulation of 1963, Proclamation Number R5 of 1963, to occupy any irrigation and residential allotment. H, any permission to occupy any allotment within the meaning of the Black Areas Land Regulation 1969, Proclamation Number R188 of 1969, and I, any right to the occupation of tribal land granted under the indigenous law or customs of the tribe in question. Any input, Honorable Mbabama and Honorable Matias have their hands raised in that order. Go ahead, Honorable Mbabama.
I'm a bit of a layman when it comes to this part, Chair. I would just like to ask Utatum Chengane, what is the purpose of this part? Maybe I won't put it right, but what does this part do to the amendments? I see that as you carry on reading, it will come to the clause by clause, and it will come to the actual objects of the bill itself as it stands. But maybe Mawun Chengana can just give us an overview of this part, where it gives us a background. I'm not too sure whether this is also an amendment or what. Although, Chairperson.
Siyamba kunye Mpondomse, nami ndizayivuyela lo input kuba umjengane. We are together on this one. Perhaps umjengane will enlighten us. Honorable Matias.
Honorable Chair, perhaps I need to take a leave from what Honorable Mbamba said and wait for the legal advisor to give the purpose and the rationale for this. Where I'm seated, I get the sense that all what it seeks to do is to give us the historical context and legislative background of what is it that the law, the bill seeks to be transformed from. a way of enabling conversion. But I think safe to say that we need to wait for him to give that clarity, and perhaps soon after that I will make my further inputs. Thanks, sir.
Our legal advisor from Legal Services, Zubam Chengani, please proceed.
Sorry, Chairperson. Chairperson,
Mama,
I raised my hand, but maybe it was late. Chairperson, sorry, I'm really, really struggling today with connectivity here. So I will ask my question that I wanted to ask earlier here, because it also deals with that same issue, Chair. When we dealt with the areas earlier, when we spoke about tribal, communal land and all of that, when we said that will be dealt with earlier, the duality of what we are sitting with in the country. Looking at this, if I understand the section that we are reading now correct, and the legal advisor will assist us with this, it deals with the Principal Act. What was the sections of the Principal Act that originally said upgrade could happen with? And if you read this A to I, it speaks on I, any right to the occupation of tribal land granted under the indigenous law, customs and tribe in question. So I understand what we discussed earlier, Chairperson, and I understand that we're not dealing with the land. But if the Principal Act speaks about that, there's also a section in the Act that in the amendment and the Principal Act that we spoke about earlier today that speaks about surveying of land. Where are we as legislators drawing that line? Because if legislation and the Principal Act refer to certain sections, there was a court challenge on a certain section, are we not making life difficult, Chair, if we are not exactly clear? Because the Principal Act might make things difficult for us if we look at what is being mentioned here. I'm not sure if I make myself clear, Chair. The thing is really with this haphazard copy and paste business that doesn't take into account what is in the Principal Act and only certain sections being changed might make life difficult for us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mama Stein. Bam Chenlai, again.
Of course, Chair. Chairperson, just the last comment by Honorable Stein relating to 1.2i of the memorandum, which says any right to the occupation of tribal land granted under the indigenous law or customs of the tribe in question. I just wanted to say, Chairperson, that the reference to tribal land granted under indigenous law or customs of the tribe in question is already in the Principal Act in Schedule 2 of the Principal Act. So under Schedule 2, it's number 4. It reads any right of the occupation of tribal land granted under indigenous law or customs of the tribe in question. So ALTRA makes reference to tribal land, Chairperson, and I would leave that to the Chairperson to explain the whole issue where we're saying that there is a bill that is comprehensive, which will deal, which is coming, or promised to the committee by the department, which will deal with issues of communal land rights. And that this amendment process now is merely a technical one, which deals with what the court decided in the two judgments, being Rahube and Senko. So that's just my comment with regard to that, Chairperson. And on the issue of the memorandum, members are correct. The memorandum is merely a context to the proposed amendments in the bill. So it gives the background and states why it is that the clauses must be amended and which clauses of the Principal Act are going to be. It would only be considered for amendment, Chairperson, if there was something glaringly untoward in the memorandum itself. However, Chairperson, from what we understand of the memorandum, there is nothing that has been proposed during the consideration of the clause by clause which would amend, which would consequentially lead to this memorandum also being tabled for clause by clause. Otherwise, it will just amount to repetition, Chairperson. So what has been agreed by members in the amendment process of the main bill will simply just be reflected by us when we do the list or the list of amendments on the memorandum itself. Thank you, Chair.
Regarding what Umam Babama raises on this issues we've embarked on the background, should we then proceed and read all of it? Or are you saying that we have then made the impact we wished to, and we can move to clause by clause analysis?
May I come in, Chair?
Mam Baba?
I just feel that, Chair, based on this discussion that we've just had, that the memorandum is not part of the bill that we are supposed to amend. I think it's merely for us as members or anyone else reading the bill to understand its purpose. I don't think that we need to read through the whole thing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I confirm that Honorable Babama's understanding is correct. And that as legal advisors, when we amend, we will simply just reflect the amendments in the main bill also on this memorandum. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Bam Chenga. I guess that brings us to the end then of our engagement on clause by clause. Dr. Manenje, the Secretariat.
Honorable Chair.
Yes.
Yes, this is Matthias.
Honorable Matthias, yes.
Yeah, well, this historical context that paints what ought to be amended and provides historical and legislative framework of what is it that needs to be changed. This is important. Is an important information. Important in a sense that it lays bare past legislation that enabled what the Constitutional Court in the Raube matter has exposed and brought before us, as well as the Sinku matter. But Honorable Chair, concepts are important in politics, as it is in the case here. This part, which has now been presented here and we've been discussing, makes no distinction between freehold and leasehold. Currently, in townships, because this legislation is about dealing with land tenure rights in township and in tribal land, the whole concept of freehold and leasehold, there's no attempt to make any distinction about that, so that we know that what form of land rights will be acquired upon having ownership of land, whether it be in the form of a freehold or it will be in the form of leasehold. That will change massively and significantly our people's access to capital if they have land and that land is owned in their name. Now the question is, there's a need for distinction between freehold and leasehold forms of land rights as we proceed with these discussions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Matthias. Honorable members, it brings us then to the end of looking at the issues that we were engaging on clause by clause. We have a series of minutes to get through as we defer them to today. I will then suggest that we close this session and move to the minutes that were sent to us and dispense of that.
Chairperson?
Honorable Stein? Honorable Matthias, please lower your hand.
Really sorry to take you back to this discussion. While we are on this last section, I had a question regarding the constitutional implications. It's also on this page that we were just dealing with up to a point. If the advisor, the legal advisor can assist us on that.
Okay. Please lower your hand.
Sorry, I'll do so. It's on the 6.1 where it says both the department and the state law advisors are of the considered opinion that the provisions of the bill are not in conflict with the Constitution and that in fact the bill seeks to remedy sections that were declared unconstitutional. Chair, I agree with that. I don't think there's any dispute much on that statement. My concern is when we amend sections of, or we amend a bill, an act, a principal act that could still be found unconstitutional in itself. What is the implications? That was what I said in the beginning. What is the our implications when we amend something, but we still know that the principal act that we are busy amending with certain sections only might still be found unconstitutional? Do we look at that at all, or do we just do what's put in place in front of us? Thank you, Chair.
Perhaps to assist Honorable Stein, but I will hand over to Bam Jengane. We have agreed, honorable members, to adhere to what the court have requested us to amend. And that is what we are effectively making changes on. But we do also need to take into account all the issues that were raised during public hearings and also set aside time to see as to how we engage with that further going forward during this sixth parliament. I would want to give the last bite to Baum Chengane so that we may close on this matter. As I've highlighted, we have a number of minutes that we would want to dispense of. Do bear in mind, honorable members, we will still be deliberating on this clause by clause issues on Tuesday. So there will still be time afforded to yourselves to engage on these issues. Bam Chengane?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think that you have answered Honorable Stein's question, that the committee took a decision to only concentrate on the two, on effecting the two judgments, Rahube and Senko, and that the wealth of information that came from the public hearings will assist the committee as it further does its work within the area under its jurisdiction. But for this amendment process, the decision of the committee was that it only sticks technically to those amendments that the court had directed that they be effected. So thank you, Chair. So the constitutionality issue that is mentioned in 6.1 is in relation to specifically only these clauses under this amendment bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Baum Chengane. Honorable members, we will defer then further engagements on the amendment of the ultra for Tuesday, as we will have more time to engage on this. I will now request that honorable members look back to the minutes that were sent to us by Mema Ledu, so that we can be able to dispense of those minutes. I think we were going to start with the minutes of the 26th of June, honorable members. And because I don't know how many pages it is, I will go on every bullet there, which is 1, 2, 3. I'll take that as page. So page 1, opening and welcoming. Page 2, apologies. Page 3, overview and introduction of the subjects by the minister. Page 4, summary of the presentations. Page 5, questions and comments and responses of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. Page 6, consideration of draft minutes. Page 7, committee's resolutions. Page 8, concluding remarks. And page 9, adjournment. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 26th of June 2020?
I move chair for the
Maso. Oh, honorable Masipa, go ahead.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 26th.
Thank you. Honorable Stein.
Chairperson, I wanted to second, but also want to take us to the 5.1.4, in the absence of a regulatory impact assessment, the committee expressed concerns that there was no discussion on the capacity of the department to implement this new legislation or the new sections. And I think, Chair, that's another thing that we need to bring back to the committee as a matter of urgency. Thank you, Chair. I'm seconding.
We'll take note of that, Honorable Stein, and we will find time to allocate it within with the Secretariat so that we make sure the committee is able to address that. Having seconded, then we move to matters arising. Page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7.
No, Chair, where are you now on the same one? Mine only has 5 pages.
I said earlier, Honorable State, because we are using these electronic gadgets, it doesn't show pages. So I'm using the bullets as numbers of pages. So when I say page 7, for example, it's dealing with committee resolutions. That is the only way I will know. Yeah. Otherwise, on this electronic gadget, it doesn't show you pages, but the entire presentation in terms of bullet points. So page 8. Page 9, adjournment. Honorable members, with no matters arising, I will take it as the minutes of the 26th of June 2020 have been adopted. Next set of minutes after June. Manyamza, what's the next one? 26th August. 4th of August, is that the one?
July 8th.
8th of July. Okay. Well, bear with me, honorable members, to find them first before I may proceed. 28th July, 18th August, 8th of July, 2020. Honorable members with us, we move page 1. Page 2. Page 3, which deals with the presentations on special adjustments to the 2020-21 budget and the revised annual performance plan, APP. Page 4, committee deliberations. Page 5, response by department. Page 4, response by department. Page 5, concluding remarks. Page 6, adjournment. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes?
Chair, I will move for the adoption of the minutes.
Chair, before we adopt the minutes.
Yes, Mama Babama.
I just have a query. I see that we have concluding remarks, and we summarize the agreements that we had. And for instance, it says on 5.1.2, the department should ensure that the cannabis master plan is finalized and approved before the end of the third quarter. Who is going to track that and make sure that we keep it in mind? And I'm not just talking to this one, I'm talking to others as well.
Honorable Mbabama, these are the minutes of the committee, and the onus is on the committee to ensure that we follow up on these issues that we set deadlines on. And as per our program, honorable members do have the right to remind us of our minutes and the deadlines that we have set. And we will therefore take it to the management committee to ask the secretariat to prioritize the issues that we feel we have put deadlines on. So it is our minutes, and the onus is on us to ensure that these dates, we are able to ensure that those things are adhered to.
With due respect, Chair, I thought you would say that the secretariat must have a running with all these resolutions of hours and dates and everything, so that at every meeting we remind ourselves that this is still outstanding, and then when it reaches that date we scratch it out and we say done.
That Thank you, Mamumba Bama. We will ask then the Secretariat also to have that running order of these things so that we are able to look into the outstanding issues. But like I said, honorable members, these are our minutes as a committee, and every member is got the right and afforded the opportunity to raise issues, particularly of deadlines that we have identified. We may be able to prioritize those issues. Mamu Nyamza and Mamu Kakaza, please note that. Any mover of the minutes?
Chair, Honorable Matsi here, moving for the minutes of the 18th of July 2020.
Honorable Mahlo is moving for the adoption of the minutes of the 8th of July 2020. Any seconder? Honorable Mamu Babama, you may proceed.
I second Mamu Mahlo's motion, Chair, to adopt the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Stain, please lower your hand. Matters arising. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page 5, page 6, adjournment. Honorable members, with no matters arising, I
sorry,
take
Chief
it.
Person,
yes, Honorable Stain, I see your hand.
Chairperson, I just wanted to raise my hand on the point 3.6.1. The department is in discussion with provinces regarding extra COVID disaster funding. I see on our agenda the department is coming to do a presentation on COVID, if that point specifically can be taken into account.
Which point is that, Honorable State?
It's 3.1.6, Chair.
3.1.6.
Yes.
Are you on the right minutes, Honorable Stain, or is it me?
I'm on 8 July.
15th July.
No, 8th July.
For 8th, order.
We are 8th July.
Sorry, Chairperson.
I have order, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Marlo.
Chairperson, I think I'm requesting that the members of this committee, if they have issues, they need to raise issues before we adopt the minutes. When they're adopted and seconded, then we start again to go back to the document. It's not correct. Thank you.
Honorable Matlo, it's matters arising, and Honorable Stain is speaking on matters arising. On the bullet number 3.1.4, which reads as the department is in discussion with the provinces to ensure that farmers who initially did not qualify for COVID-19 disaster support fund are able to receive support in dealing with COVID-19 pandemic. The department is also in discussion with other members of the executive. So,
thank you, I'm sorry, I withdraw.
Yes, in that regard, she is merely asking for the department to be able to present on the COVID-related issues. Noted, Honorable Stain, we will duly inform the department, and I see Honorable Deputy Minister Sibalku Dlamini is here with us, DM. Let us acknowledge your presence, and I'm certain that you're taking note of these issues that we would like to bring to the attention of the department and be able to engage with the department on. Honorable members, with that said, the minutes of the 8th of July have been duly adopted. We move on to the minutes of the 15th of July, 2020. Are we together?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Page 1, opening and welcome. Page 2, apologies. Page 3, summary of proceedings. Page 4, presentations by the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. Page 5, key resolutions. Page 6, adjournment. Can we have a move of the minutes of the 15th of July, 2020?
I move that the minutes of the 15th of July, 2020 be adopted, Chair.
Thank you, Mama Babama. Has moved for the adoption of the minutes of the 15th of July, 2020. And we have a seconder, Honorable Klappe.
Thanks, Chair. I second Honorable Babama that the minutes of the 15th be adopted, July.
Thank you, Honorable Klappe. We move to matters arising, Honorable Members. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Stein.
I'm trying to keep track between your pages and the numbers. It's 4.3.4, where we're dealing about farmer register. We have said here that the report on the expenditure was inadequate. I think we spoke about the funding, how much it costs to put the farmer register in place and what it was, you know, exactly for. And while we're dealing with the expenditure report, I think we can get a breakdown or a feedback on how far we are, how many people have been registered on that report. Thank you, Chair.
That, Honorable Stein, is 4.3.4. A report on expenditure was inadequate. The committee requested the department to submit a detailed financial report with details about the expenditure. That's what you are speaking to?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you.
That's correct.
All right. We'll take note of that. Let's move on, Honorable Members, page 5. Page 6. Thank you, Honorable Members. The minutes of the 15th of July, 2020 have been duly adopted. Thank you. The next one, Manyamza, 18th of July. No, 28th of July. Are those the next one, Manyamza?
That's how I have it, Chair.
Yes, yes, Chair.
I have it as that one.
I'm checking with the secretariat if they are still with us or if they've gone away for lunch.
Yes, they are the next one, 28th of July. We are still here.
We are moving together. Page one, opening and welcome. Page two, apologies. Page three, committee deliberations. Page four, update by the department on the animal disease status in the country. Page five, briefing by the committee secretariat on the processing of upgrading of land tenure rights amendment bill. Page six, concluding remarks and resolutions. Page seven, adjournment. Can we have a mover, honorable members, for the adoption of the minutes of the 28th of July, 2020? And two hands.
Oh,
yeah. Honorable Clapper and Honorable Spain.
Chair, I move for the adoption of this minute.
Thank you. Honorable Clapper moves for the adoption of the minutes. Honorable Spain.
Sorry, Chair, no. I lowered my hand. I wasn't present. I can't move, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any other seconder? Honorable Mahlatsi.
I second the mover, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mahlatsi. Seconds. Let's move to the matters arising, honorable members. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four, page five, page six, page seven. Thank
Sorry,
you.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Stay.
I lowered my, I raised my hand, check, and I just check if we received the report from the department on its 4.2.1.9 on the update by the department on the appeal of the public protector report regarding the Free State farmer on brucellosis, and then 4.2.1.10 on progress of the maintenance on the border red line fence. Did we receive that report, Chairperson?
Mayamza? Mamkakaza?
We'll have to check, Chair. I'm not sure. We'll check.
Yeah, it's bullet point 4.3.9 and 4.3.10. That is what Honorable Stain is questioning, if we have received the reports. Please check on behalf of the committee and yes.
We did receive the reports, Chair, but I'm not sure of the date. I can only remind members, I will check my records and come back with the date the reports were sent.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you, Chair.
No, Honorable Stanley, they were sent to us. Perhaps they can ask the Secretariat to confirm when they were sent. And should members be interested in having a look at those reports, we can circulate them.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just also want to remind them at some stage they used the wrong email address for myself, so it might be that I missed it because of that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, please then check with the Secretariat and ensure that they have your correct correspondence details. Honorable members, yes.
Claudia, thank you very much. I just wanted to check because on the I'm using my phone to locate myself in as a minutes, and now it doesn't show pages. However, I think 6.1.1 where we're speaking about, because we're on the 28th July, where we're speaking about the KZN oversight report. I would, according to the minutes, it does indicate that we're supposed to get a report back, because remember we deferred the matter back to the department to go and relook into it, that the report be included in the fourth term program.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mema Sazi, and I will also put it to the Secretariat, particularly on the issues that we postpone and we do give timelines, if we can revisit those issues. And as clearly outlined here, that the KZN oversight recommendations, we requested that they be presented within 2 months. So that would then afford honorable members to conclude on this KZN oversight, and we can start focusing on other oversights that we are due to have. So if the Secretariat can be able to look into that as well. Honorable members, any other? If not, I take it then, honorable members, that the minutes of the 28th of July 2020 have been duly adopted. Thank you. Next set of minutes, not 19th of August, isn't the 4th of August, someone, not 25th of August. What else? 26th June, we've dealt with that.
18th August, Chair.
18th August.
Yeah.
Thank you. Why do I have 19th August? Sorry, let me just check this one. 18th August, yes. Are we together, honorable members? The minutes of the 18th of August 2020?
Yes, Chair.
Page 1. Opening and welcome. Page 2. Apologies. Page 3. Summary of proceedings. Page 4, presentations by lawyers, academics, researchers, leaders and representatives of non-governmental and civil society organizations. Page 5, concluding remarks. Page 6, adjournment. Can I have a mover, honorable members, of the minutes of the 18th of August 2020?
I move for the adoption of the minutes of Tuesday, 18th August 2020, Chair.
Thank you, honorable Mbabama. Can we have a seconder for the adoption of the minutes?
I hereby seconding, Member Chris hereby seconding the minutes of 18th of August.
Member Shaw seconds the adoption of the minutes of the 18th of August 2020. Honorable members, is the matters arising? Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Thank you, honorable members. The minutes of the 18th of August 2020 have been adopted. Minutes of the 19th of August 2020. Page one, opening and welcome. Page two, summary and proceedings. Page three, public hearings on ULTRA. Page four, summary of the proceedings and discussions. The details will be captured in the report. Page five, concluding remarks and resolution. Page six. Honorable members, can I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 19th of August 2020? Mem Marshall has raised her hand.
Thank you, Chair. I'm hereby moving for the adoption of the minutes of the 19th of August.
Thank you, Honorable Marshall. And I have a seconder for the adoption, Honorable Klappe.
Thanks, Chair. I second Honorable Marshall that this is the true reflection of the proceedings of the 19th August and should be adopted.
Thank you, Honorable Klappe, seconding the adoption of the minutes of the 19th of August 2020. Any matters arising, honorable members? Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five, page six. Thank you, honorable members. The minutes of the 19th of August 2020 have been duly adopted. Thank you. Honorable Marshall, please lower your hand. Let's move on, honorable members, to the next set of minutes is the 25th of August 2020.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes. Mamukakas.
The next one is 1st of September, Chair. The ones 25th and 26th of August, they were adopted in the last meeting.
Thank you, Mamukakaza. The 1st of September. Let's locate them. Yes, there we go. Minutes of the 1st of September 2020. Page one, opening and welcome. Page two, summary of proceedings. Page 3, responses by the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, herein after referred to as DALRRD or the Department, to the public comments of on the ULTRA bill. Page 4, questions and comments from deliberations. Page 5, responses from the department. Page 6, concluding remarks and resolutions. Page 7, adjournment. Honorable members, can I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 1st of September 2020?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 1st of September 2020 as a true reflection of what happened on the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Masipa. Can we have a seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mahlatsi, for seconding the adoption of the minutes of the 1st of September 2020. Any matters arising? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Thank you, honorable members. Minutes of the 1st of September 2020 have been duly adopted. And last but not least, the minutes of the 4th of September 2020. Page 1, honorable members, opening and welcome. Page 2, summary of proceedings. Page 3, analysis by the content advisors and researchers supporting the committee of public comments and the subsequent response by the department. Page 4, questions and comments from deliberations. Page 5, response from committee support officials. Page 6, consideration of draft minutes, concluding remarks and resolution. Page 7, concluding remarks. And page 8, adjournment. Honorable members, can we have a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 4th of September 2020? Bao Kapa, Honorable Kapa.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 4th of September as a true reflection of the proceedings. Thank you, Chair. As to be fully adopted.
Thank you, Honorable Kapa, for moving for the adoption of the minutes of the 4th of September 2020. Honorable Chair.
Chair, she is not in, but it is my pleasure.
Thank you,
Chair. I second. Oh, sorry, I thought you were not here.
Thank you, Chair. I second the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, for soldiering on with us today, and we also wish you a speedy recovery. Umamu Chete seconds the adoption of the minutes of the 4th of September 2020. Can we move, honorable members, to the matters arising? Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Page seven. Page 8. Honorable members, the minutes of the 4th of September 2020 have been duly adopted. Let us thank you all, honorable members, for your time today, particularly on the engagements. On clause by clause amendments of the upgrading of land tenure rights amendment bill, but also for catching up on the minutes that we have been long awaiting to dispense with. With this, it brings us to date on all our minutes that have been outstanding. Let me wish you all Juma Mubarak on this holy day of prayer, and those that are attending the Sabbath tomorrow on Saturday, we wish you well on your day of prayer, and also those that will be going for Sunday prayers, let us wish you well over this weekend. But most importantly, please take out time to rest and be with your families and ensure that the work of our constituencies continues and you continue to be the best servants of our people by putting our people first and ensuring that their wishes and their pleas are heard by the National Parliament and by the respective representative departments that relate to our masses. I therefore wish you well on this weekend, and we will see you next week on our sitting, which will be on Tuesday. Thank you. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, sister.
Thanks, Chair.
Mohammed.
Let's try.